Today's sermon title is The Son of Man. We're going to learn from Holy Scripture what Jesus meant when He called Himself the Son of Man. In other words, God is using today's Bible readings to teach us what He wants us to believe about Jesus. Now, some people might say, but why do I need to know this information? How will this information help me in my daily life? Well, sadly, many people today are tempted to reduce the Bible to nothing more than a book of self-help tips or a collection of good advice on how to have a happy and prosperous life. As a result, many sermons today end up being nothing more than moral lessons that give principles for life, or worse yet, pop psychology lessons that build up our self-esteem. In contrast, today's sermon is going to explain what God wants you to believe when Jesus calls Himself the Son of Man. And let me assure you, if you believe what God teaches you about who Jesus is, it will affect how you live. With that in mind, let's examine our gospel reading from Mark chapter 14. Now, you probably noticed the setting is Jesus' trial before the Jewish court after they had captured Him without a fight at the Garden of Gethsemane. The Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus, but they can't. Why not? Well, you see, they feared the Romans. Why would they fear the Romans? Well, the Romans were in control of Jerusalem and much of the known world at that time. And they had many laws, and one of them was, if you are under occupied Roman territory, you cannot execute anybody without the Romans' permission. Therefore, in order to execute Jesus, the Jewish court would have to bring Jesus before the local Roman ruler, Pontius Pilate. However, before they could bring Jesus before Pilate and take some of his precious time, they would have to give evidence that Jesus was actually guilty of a crime deserving death under Roman law. But of course, Jesus was not guilty of any such crime. They even brought false witnesses to try to frame Jesus, but that didn't work either. Finally, the high priest asks Jesus this question: Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Now, what does that question imply? There really are two parts to this question. The first part is this: Is Jesus the Christ? Now, the Old Testament scriptures had promised that God would send His people a Savior. And the Hebrew name given to this Savior was Messiah, which means the Anointed One. However, by Jesus' day, the Jews were all speaking the language of the empire, which was Greek. And the Greek word for Messiah is Christ. So when the high priest asked Jesus if He was the Christ, he was asking Jesus if He was the Messiah, the Savior promised in the Old Testament scriptures. But sadly, the Jews in Jesus' day did not understand the true mission of the Christ. You see, the Jews in Jesus' day believed that the Christ would be a man, only a man, who was sent by God to help the Jews conquer whatever enemies they had at that time. And of course, in that day, it would have been the Romans. But you see, even though Jesus claimed to be the Christ, Jesus never did anything about the Romans. Instead, Jesus told His own people, the Jews, that they needed to repent of their sin and trust in Him for forgiveness. In fact, Jesus said this even to the religious leaders, the ones who were trying Him in court. And needless to say, when Jesus said this, He didn't make any friends. But now, we must consider the second part of the high priest's question. He also asked Jesus if he was the Son of the Blessed One. The Blessed One being God Himself. You see, Jesus was doing much more than simply claiming to be the Christ. He was also claiming to be the very Son of God, meaning that He was God Himself in human flesh. So when the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" he was actually asking Jesus, "Are you claiming to be the Christ and even more, the very Son of God Himself?" And listen now to Jesus' answer. "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." When Jesus said that, the high priest took his own robes and ripped them apart. That was a cultural sign of great offense and anger. You see, the high priest could not bear the thought that Jesus was claiming to be God Himself. But did Jesus really claim to be God? I mean, didn't He call Himself the Son of Man? Yes, He did. But what you need to understand is that Jesus was deliberately quoting from Daniel chapter 7. You see, around 530 B.C., Daniel was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write about the future coming of the Christ. Listen again to these words from our Old Testament reading. Daniel wrote, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming on the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him." Did you hear that? Daniel said that the Christ will be like a son of man. In other words, the Christ will be human, but not merely human. Daniel says that the Son of Man will have the same authority as God. Daniel also points out that the people will worship the Son of Man as God Himself. Now, Jesus makes the same point in our gospel reading when He tells the court that He will sit at the right hand of the Mighty One. By saying this, Jesus is claiming that He will sit on the throne with God and share glory with God. In other words, Jesus, by calling Himself the Son of Man, is claiming to be God Himself. Sadly, the Jews of Jesus' day would not believe what their own Bible taught about the Christ. You see, they wanted the Christ to be an ordinary man. If the Christ is just an ordinary man, then maybe you can manipulate him and bribe him and influence him. You see, they wanted the Christ to simply be a military leader, to lead them in victorious rebellion against the Romans, their enemies. But my friends, the Scriptures teach that the Christ is God in the flesh, whose mission was to save us from our worst enemy. And our worst enemy is our own sin against God. The Jews simply did not understand this or refused to understand it. But you know, we dare not judge the Jews too harshly. We too are guilty of believing sinful things about Jesus. Look at our society today. Many in our culture, even many people in Christian churches, say that Jesus was nothing more than a man. Nothing more than a man who had some interesting opinions about God and some good moral lessons to teach us. Many in our culture will say that this ordinary man, Jesus, was killed and he's still dead. And so worshiping on Sunday is nothing more than remembering a dead martyr. However, but even we Christians who do believe that Jesus is God, we're often guilty of misunderstanding Him as well. More and more today, even Christians who do believe that Jesus is God, very often we want Jesus to be nothing more than a divine Santa Claus who exists to give gifts to people who've been good. In addition, we also want Jesus to rescue us from our perceived enemies. And by perceived enemies, I mean that we want Jesus to rescue us from poverty and from sickness and from terrorists and from low self-esteem. Now, I'm not saying that those things aren't problematic. I'm simply saying that we modern Christians tend to forget that our real enemy is our own sin against God. My friends, we must repent and believe what Jesus teaches us about the mission of the Son of Man. For example, earlier on in Mark's Gospel, if you read in chapter 8, you will hear these words. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Did you hear that? Jesus is saying that the Son of Man will save his people from their sin by dying on the cross in their place of punishment. In fact, we also heard about this in our reading from Revelation. The Holy Spirit moved the Apostle John to write these words, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and power forever and ever." But then, John goes on to write these words, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. I saw someone like a Son of Man. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forever and ever.'" Sadly, many Jews in Jesus' day rejected the Son of Man. And the devil wants us to do the same, my friends. And one way this can happen is when we fail to believe what Jesus says about himself. Those who reject the Son of Man have no hope. Listen again to these words from our second reading. John writes, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people of the earth will mourn because of him." We need to listen to this warning, my friends, because you see, we also were the ones who pierced him. We wrongly think sometimes that the ones who pierced him were just a few Jews and a few Romans who collaborated against Jesus. They're the guilty ones. No. When you read Scripture, you find out that we're all guilty of piercing Jesus. You see, no one forced the Son of Man to go to the cross. Jesus was Almighty God. He could have wiped out his enemies at any point. So why did he allow himself to be nailed to the cross? He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross because with every hammer blow, it was our sins that were placing him there. Jesus was on the cross because he was bearing the weight of our sin that we might be saved. So that leads to a question. Will you be among those who mourn on the final day when Christ returns? You don't have to be. Not if you repent of your sin and trust in the Son of Man as your Savior. Today, you learned what Jesus meant when he called himself the Son of Man. Jesus taught you that he is God in human flesh who died on the cross in your place of damnation. Therefore, there is no reason for you to fear Christ's return if you trust in him now as your Lord and Savior. In our sermon hymn, you sang that Jesus is your beautiful Savior. We sang those words because we believe that Jesus is who He says He is. That's why we also sang these words in our sermon hymn. We sang that Jesus is Son of God and Son of Man. You see, what you believe about Jesus will affect how you live. Let me give you three brief examples. First, because you believe what Jesus says about Himself, because you trust Him as Lord and Savior, the result is that you will want to worship Jesus with your lives. You see, when you come to faith, God gives you new hearts. New hearts that long to turn from sin. New hearts that want to conform your thoughts and words and actions to the plan God has for your life. When you believe that Jesus is who He says He is, it affects how you live. Second, because you believe what Jesus says about Himself, you will also be moved to witness to others who don't know what Jesus means when He calls Himself the Son of Man. You know, there are people right here in Jamestown who don't know the truth about God's Word. They don't know the truth about Jesus. But you can speak the Word of truth to them. Third and finally, you who believe what Jesus says about Himself have hope. In other words, you can live in the knowledge that your sins are forgiven, and you can live in the knowledge that you have certain hope in the face of death itself. As we heard in our reading from Revelation, the Son of Man holds the keys to death. And just as He rose to live forever and ever, those who die through faith in Him will rise again to live forever and ever with the Son of Man, the God who loves us. My friends, God called you to this place today so that you can hear His Word and know what Jesus means when He calls Himself the Son of Man. And now, the next time you sing that hymn, Beautiful Savior, you will know what God wants you to believe when you sing these words. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man, truly I'd love Thee, truly I'd serve Thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forever, be Thine. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Son of Man. Amen.